I really thought that the Lord wanted me to speak from Jacob up until about 10 minutes before Brother Jay finished. And that's where I was most of the time that he was speaking. And then it seemed like the Lord was just directing me to Proverbs chapter 3 in that last 10 minutes. And I could not get away from it. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If there are two verses in all of God's word that I would give you as a formula for success and for victory and for growth and maturity in the Christian experience, it has to be those two verses. If you can take those two verses and devour them and let them become a part of you and not be changed, then you're not saved. But if you're a changed person, if you're a born again person, if you're saved, you can take those two verses and let the truth of those two verses be a part of your life and your everyday experience. I guarantee you that your life will be productive for God. I guarantee you that the joy of the Lord will be your strength. I guarantee you that there will be victory in your life. I guarantee you your life will count for Jesus Christ. I guarantee you that the Lord will be glorified in your life. We sing so many times how that we trust in Jesus. And I must confess that so many times in my life, and even now, sometimes when I'm singing unconsciously, it's no more than singing a rock and roll song. Because my mind is not occupied with what I'm singing. Just singing words, if they're just words, they mean nothing. But you know, one of the exercises that I like to do is, when brethren give out hymns, I like to just not take the hymn book. I like to see what I've stored in my mind. I like to see what's in the computer, and so I just don't pick up the hymn book, and I try to just sing. It's a good exercise, you know. I appreciate Sister Sherry singing. I said the other night, one aspect is this, that there are no papers and stuff in front of her like I've got to have. I remember in Green Turtle Key at the crusade when she was singing, she came to me and she said, "Tell them I don't want the music so loud that they can't hear the words that I say. Because I am not singing for people to be entertained with the music," is what she said to me. She said, "I want them to be ministered to by the word that I sing." And I appreciate that. The word that we sing, there must be a message in that word. There must be a challenge in that word or an uplift in that word that we sing. But we need to be conscious of what we sing. And I say so many times, I sing that I'm trusting the Lord Jesus, and lustily I'm singing, I'm leaning on the everlasting arms, and I ain't leaning one little bit. Well, these little thing knocks me over. I become so upset. I become so depressed, the least little thing doesn't take very much. And then I begin to sing again, simply trusting every day. And I really know, I know that's the truth. That's what I need to do. I sing, "My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead." And if I really do that, as we have heard already this morning, if I do that, if that is a reality in my life, then my life is going to be productive and fruitful. And yet as I look back over my life, I see so many of those bad areas, and I can't see all of them, because some that I'm putting a tick to and saying, correct, God is putting a big X to. You know, and that's what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about that I think like God, and I judge myself like God. But very often I don't think, because my mind is not in keeping and in tune with his mind. And very often I'm giving myself a plus when I ought to be giving myself a minus. But you know, it is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. As we cut through all the great doctrines of the Word of God, sanctification and justification, and all of the other great doctrines, we come down to simply the heart of the Christian faith is trust. The heart of the gospel is trust. The heart of the Christian experience is trust. Without trust, we have nothing. Absolutely nothing. And so the writer of Proverbs says, trust in the Lord. If you trust in riches, they'll fail you. If you trust in pleasure, you'll never find fulfillment. If you trust in the things of the world, they will let you down. There is only one to trust in, and that is God. God has planned it all for us to be complete. And everything that we need is wrapped up in God's program. We don't need to go outside of that program. Not one little bit. Anything outside of that program cannot have the stamp of approval of God. If I'm going to know the blessing of God, then I must be in the circumference of His will. I must think like God, as we have heard already this morning. And so there has to be a decision on my part to trust God. Let me ask this question right now. There may be somebody here, and you've been challenged with the gospel, but let me challenge you again. Have you come to that place that you have trusted with your heart? It's a decision. That's why Billy Graham calls his program the Hour of Decision. For some of you are here this morning, you're still not saved, and you've had many hours of decision. Some of you have wept. Some of you have not slept. Some of you have heavy hearts. Some of you have burdens that are too great for you to bear. And let me tell you, God is not going to let up one little bit. I guarantee you that if your heart is heavy, if your shoulders are heavy, if you feel that your chest is going to burst open, it's going to get worse. Because God's people are praying that you're going to be saved, and they're saying, by all means, God, save them, by all means. When we say to God, by all means, you know what God is going to do? He's going to take us at His word, at our word. And God is going to put pressure on. God's going to turn the burners up. God's going to make it very difficult for you. If you had one sleepless night last week, maybe this week there won't be any nights of sleep. But you know, David said when he was away from God as a backslider after he had sinned, David, in recounting those days, and when one came to him and told him of his sin and the burden that was upon his soul, David said, in recounting that years later, he said, I thank God that his hand was heavy, heavy upon me. And I thank God as a believer for every time God's hand is heavy upon me, and every time God's hand has been heavy upon my life. As one of our brethren said the other morning, that since being a believer, even so many times, our feet have been so close, so close, so close to stepping over the line. And another little step and our whole testimony would be gone. Our lives would be wasted. We'd be on the junk pile. So many believers have stepped over that deadline, and they are on the shelf as far as God is concerned. Yes, they're saved, but let me tell you this. They are useless to God. I don't want to be useless to God. I want whatever little ability that I have, I want God to take that, and I want God to use me. I want to be used for God, not for me, not for my glory, but I want to be used by God. I want to be sincere with God. That's my desire. My desire is that I will please Him and glorify Him. And so there has to be a decision of heart trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The Bible says that he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Once you've got that straight, you're on the right track. You must believe that he is all that the Word of God says he is. You must believe that he is God. And beside him, there is none else. That simply means that there's a straight and narrow road that has been cut in our belief of who the sovereign God is, and we don't deviate from that one little bit. He's God. Beside him, there is no other God. There must be no other gods. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then the Bible says this, for without faith, it is impossible to please him. And I say, but Lord, so many times I am so faithless. So many times I see your hand working, and I have to confess, Lord, I didn't believe you could do it. Lord, I didn't think you would do it. I said that was too hard for you. Or really, they're not the words I use, but really, I was saying it'll never happen. If somebody had asked, well, do you think God can do it? I'd have said, yes, God can do it. But really, I was doubting in myself that it would ever be done. See, I looked at the situation. Maybe it was an unsaved person. And I said, they're so wicked. They have nothing to do with the church. Just see how cynical they are. See how unbelieving they are. Oh, they'll wind up in hell. They'll die and go to hell. I was looking at the unsaved person, and I got my eyes off of God. My trust must be with God. My commitment. My faith. My faith must be in him, the Almighty God. I have come to him, and I believe that he is, and that he's able. And without faith, I know that it's impossible to please him. And I say, Lord, how much have I been pleasing you? How much of the last 48 hours of my life have I pleased God? Because I'm standing here, that doesn't mean that all of the time I'm here, I'm pleasing God. Because I'm in this church and at the conference and gathered with these people, that doesn't mean that I'm pleasing him every moment that I'm here. My occupation might be with something else. It might not be with the things of God. I could be in here and be a million miles away in thought. There has to be a decision to trust him with all our hearts. That happened when we were convicted with me in 1967, I can take you back into the little apartment and I say, this was the spot. Some of you don't remember the spot, but you know it happened. But I can go back there and I say, this is the time. I bowed my knees and I cried, holy, holy. And I raised my eyes and I saw the Savior. And I surrendered my life to him, and I trusted him. But you know, from then till now, there has had to be a continual trust of stepping out, a continual step of faith. Every day I take a step of faith. Every moment I take it's a continual stepping of faith. That's nothing to do with my salvation. But to live the Christian life, there must be a continuance of that trust and commitment that I made way back there in 1967. When I don't do that, then I'm not trusting God. Trust the Lord, he says, with all thine heart. That's a challenge to me. All my heart? All my heart? Then my heart must be undivided. My heart must be single. I must begin to look into the rooms of my life and check it out. Lord, do you have control of all the rooms in my life? What about the entertainment room in my life? Lord, do you have control of that? What about the pleasure room in my life? Lord, do you have control of that? And there are so many rooms in our lives. We have divided our hearts up, our lives up into little rooms and little sections. And somehow we'll give God some rooms, but there are certain rooms we say, God, we keep it for ourselves. You heard our brother a while ago. as he talked about certain things that if we allow into our lives, they program us. They program us into a certain lifestyle. It is even a certain mentality, but a certain morality. We get programmed into a certain moral groove. You remember when the Lord brought his servant to build the walls that were torn down? Nehemiah came. And then there was the house of God, the place where the tithes were kept in the house of God. Nehemiah left the work in charge of certain men as he left to go back. And when he came, he found that Tobiah, who was in opposition to God and his work, had moved into that very area. The Bible says he moved in with all of his junk. And that's exactly what the devil does. He comes in and he fills those rooms of our lives that we will not hand over to Jesus Christ. And I know it. I know that every room in my life that has not been handed over to him, not surrendered to him, the devil has filled it with himself and with his junk. You know what Nehemiah did? The Bible says Nehemiah took Tobiah and threw him out and threw all of his junk out. Some of us don't have the courage to do that. But we need to ask God to give us the courage and the strength, and he will, to cleanse our heart of every sin, to open every room of every door, to say, Lord, here's the key to every room in my heart. Lord, you can have it. Lord, I open every door. Some of us keep certain doors closed. We can do that in our home. When guests come, we might not want them to go into every room. There's nothing wrong with that. But not when the great guest comes in. Our Savior must have the keys to every room of our lives. He must have my heart. He must have my intellect. He must have my will. My mind must be satisfied with who he is and with what he has done for me. My heart needs to be stirred to accept what his word says and to believe it and to trust in him. And my will must be strengthened. There must be no weakness. There must be strength to act as a total personality. The appeal here is to the will. It's a decision that has to be made by my will. This is why we sing, my stubborn will at last has yielded. God is saying to us here this morning, your will, I want your will. I want your will. If I have your will, I have you. But so very often, God doesn't have me because he doesn't control my will. I'm stubborn because I want to have my own way. I don't want to fit into God's program. God has showed me that he has a program for my life, but I say, God, I've got a program for my life. And God is saying, but that was before you became a Christian. And I'm saying, but God, I still have that same program. God is saying, but I want you to trust me. God is saying, I want you to lean upon me. Put your full weight upon me. And the question that comes this morning is, am I, as a believer, putting my full trust in him? Or am I thinking somehow that he can't do the job? Somehow he can't take care of me. God, you know who I am? I'm a lot to take care of, God. You'll have to provide a lot for me. You'll have to send a whole host of angels to take care of me. And God is saying, I want you to step right out in total dependence upon me. Commit your way to me. Commit your life to me. Commit your will to me. Surrender your will as a little child. In that decision, there are two principles that are involved. God expects that I give everything or nothing. God never settles for second best. I know that, but I know so very often He gets the second best from me. So very often He gets the second best. More than I'm ready to admit, God gets the second best from my life. So much of my life is occupied with satisfying me, taking care of number one, pleasing number one. The two principles that are involved. Number one, there has to be a renunciation of self. We must hand over our heart to God. We must break down. We must give in. We must surrender and say to God, here I am. Take me. Use me. Fill me. Do whatever you want with me. I'm going to hand over my life to you with all my heart. It's all for God. Totally. Let me tell you that this is probably the hardest and most difficult preaching to accept. I'm not saying it's easy. It's the hardest for me to preach. Because you know, most of us, all of us who are preachers, we get up here and we're always pointing the finger down there. And you see what happens? Three other fingers point back at us. Always remember that. Remember that we're not pointing just at you, but we're pointing three times as much at us. We all know. We would not dare to stand up here and say, look, we're holier than thou. You've heard that coming through from preacher after preacher who stood up here. He said, we are flesh just like you. We have the same inclinations as you have. And none of us would stand up here and say, ha ha. Oh yeah, I read my Bible more than them. Let's look down over the audience here. Brother so-and-so might be just catching up with a little bit. None of us would do that. That's pride. We would say like the Apostle Paul, we are the chief of sinners. We're the chief of sinners. We would say like the Apostle Paul, we are the least in the kingdom of God. There are many of you who have it together a lot better than some of us. We know that. But we know that you have the same frustrations in life that we have. And we trust that you're identifying with that during these days. The apostle is saying, as you have received Jesus Christ, the Lord, by an act of faith, and you became a born-again believer, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, so walk ye in Him. That first step was a step of trust. So let that be a projection of your life all the way along the line right through till the end of the journey. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Hand your life over to Him. Let it be all for God. Excuse me, I'm having a terrible problem. I'm reminding of the story that I heard of Stephen Alford. As a young man, his father was a missionary to Africa. And Stephen, who is now one of the renowned preachers in the United States of America, was then a student in an engineering school. Oh, as a young believer coming up as a missionary son, you know, he was saved early. He was baptized. He was into fellowship in the assembly. And, you know, he probably sang in quartets and did all the other things that children who come up through the assembly would do. But he said, I left home and I went away to the West Coast to school, to engineering school. He said, and my hobby was to race motorbikes. He said, I was at school for about 7 years. And he said, for those 7 years, I gradually wandered away from God. I had no interest in the things of God. My father thought I was doing well. He said, but you know, God was about to do something in my life and I didn't realize it. God wanted me. He wanted my attention. He could not get my attention. Through all of his tender pleading, God couldn't get my attention. He said, I like to race motorbikes. He said, my team built a special carburetor and we were the top guys as we raced. He said, I was expert in riding motorbikes. He said, and one day, a cold day, there was ice on the road. He said, I made a turn and I went off my motorbike. I hit my head. I was unconscious, lying in the snow for hours when somebody found me. By then, I had developed double pneumonia. They took me to the hospital, and when the doctors examined me, the doctors said, you have 3 weeks to live. 3 weeks to live. At the most, you'll live is 3 weeks. He said, I had a quarrel with God. I'd been brought up in a Christian home. I had said I was saved. I'd been baptized. I was a member of the assembly. And I said, God, how could you allow this to happen to me? 3 weeks and all of my life is going to be ended. All the plans I had for my life. I had my program for my life. And God, you're saying that 3 weeks, he said, I lay in that bed. And with the consciousness that I had, the little bit of consciousness, I looked up to God and I said, God, how could you do this to me? He said, my father had gone on a special trip inland. In fact, to get a letter from where my father was to me took actually 3 months. He said, about the second day after I was lying in that hospital bed, a letter was delivered to me that had been written 3 months before. 3 months before. Show you how God works. He said, I opened that letter. It was from my dear father. He said, he knew nothing of my accident. He said, and inside the letter I read these words, my son, only one life. 'Twill soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. I said, 2 weeks to live. 2 weeks. And I would stand before God and I would have to give an account of a wasted life. Totally wasted. He said, I became so convicted by the Spirit of God. I slipped to my knees and I asked for God to forgive me. He said, I was genuine. I was broken. There was nowhere else for me to go. I was cornered like Jacob. I was cornered. And when God wants to get his man, God will corner him. God will put him in a position where he can't turn right or left or go back or go ahead. He asked to stay where he is and face the music. He said, I was there 3 weeks to live. I was on a hospital bed. I had to face the music. He said, God forgave me. I had the assurance of that. He said, and you know, God began to heal my body. The doctors were amazed as they came in and checked me. They said, gradually, I regained my strength. Gradually, my lungs cleared. God healed my body and he restored my soul. But he said, you know, it became a turning point in my life. He said, after I was out of the hospital and recuperating, I was walking around downtown in the town where I lived. He said, I went down to the seashore. He said, there were people milling all around and from time to time, missionaries would come to my father's house and my father would have them and we would meet these missionaries. He said, there was a missionary that I had met who worked down in South America. He said, I had no idea he was in the town where I was. But to show how God works, he said, I was walking among the people, just walking. And all of a sudden, there was this missionary. He saw me and I saw him. He said, we embraced. We talked for a while. I told him my story. I told him what had happened to me. I told him about my life. He said, that missionary looked me in the eye as we stood there with people moving all around us. And he said, Stephen, what are you going to do about it? You've asked God to forgive you. God has done that. You have the assurance of God's word. God has touched your body miraculously by his healing power. God has brought you to the place of recovery where you are presently. What are you prepared to do about it? He said, God is saying to you right now, are you prepared to give me everything? Stephen, what you've done, you've kept certain rooms of your life. Racing motorbikes became your God, Stephen. You wouldn't give that over to God. You raced even on Sunday. You had no time for church because you were racing motorbikes on Sunday. It was the only time to race, you said. That's when the big ones were. But Stephen, it cost you everything spiritually. God has given you another chance. Stephen, are you prepared right now to say to God, God, I'm going to give you everything. God, I'm going to give you every key of every door in my life. I'm going to hand me over to you, God. Me. I'm going to give me to you, lock, stock, and barrel. I belong to you, God. He said, I was broken. I was weeping. At that moment, there was nothing else I could say, but yes, 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 God, I'm prepared. I'm prepared. He said, are you prepared to kneel right here while these people mill around us? Right here, not to go from here because the devil might seize this opportunity to take away from you the conviction that you have. Right now, would you do it right now? He said, yes, yes, right now. He said, the two of us got down on our knees. They probably thought we were crazy. He said, I looked up to God in heaven. And I said, Lord, I'm prepared to go any place, any time, at any cost. He said, my professor thought that I was another Einstein. He said he had so much planned for me. But he said, I decided I was going to see my professor. And I was going to tell my professor that even though he thought I was the most promising student in his class, that God had called me to a higher ministry, a higher profession. He said, I'll never forget the day I went in to see the professor. We had grown very close together. It helped me tremendously. He had a lot of hopes in me. He said, when I told him, he said, Stephen, you're a fool. He said, I saw that professor's eyes swell up with tears. I saw him choke a little bit as he thought about what I had said to him. He said, and he embraced me, and through the choking, he said, sorry. I'm sorry, Stephen, but I'm the fool. He said, let me tell you this, Stephen. As long as these doors are open, you're welcome to come back. Stephen Alford looked at his professor and he said, no, sir. He said, no, sir. He said, I'll never come back. He said, there's going to be no back door exit this time. He said, I'm trusting God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength, and I'm opening my entire life up to him for his working. He said, there's going to be no retreat. My life is being handed over to Him entirely and exclusively. In our verse it said, and lean not unto thine own understanding. We must be prepared to come to the end of ourselves. We're too strong for God. God has not done in me what He wants to do in me simply because I've been too strong for God. And some of you out here this morning, you're too strong for God. Some of us, you know, when we're growing up and we say little smart things, our parents say, you're too big for your britches. And God looks down at me this morning and I know God's saying to me, you're too big for your britches, Louie. That's the problem. Some of us don't want to admit that. I'm not saying that to sound that I'm holier than anybody. I'm not. I know that God could have done a lot more through me. He hasn't done very much through me. He hasn't done very much in me because I haven't allowed Him to do it. Because God, before He can do anything through me, He must do it in me. God can't do anything through us until He does it in us. The work must be done in us. The maturity must happen within. The conformity to Jesus Christ. It's the life of Jesus Christ, not my life. We've heard that said already, I think, Brother Elliot, Brother Jade. It has come through very strongly. It is not I, but Christ who lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. There must be a handing over of myself to God, and there must be a reckoning with who I am and how big I am and how big God is. This is why I like that song that says, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. And that doesn't apply to other people. That applies to me. And I'm in the circumference of the arms of the Almighty God. I'm in His power. His power is in me. All the resources of heaven are available to me if I will just trust Him and commit my life to Him and say, Father, my hands are being taken off the throttle. However fast You want my life to go, You want to slow it down? Lord, here it is. You want to stop me, Lord? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the stops of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Lord, You need to stop me at times. Lord, here's the throttle of my life. Lord, sometimes I head right into trouble because I've got the throttle, because I've got the wheel. And the Lord says, I don't want You to go that way. And I say, but I want to go that way. And I say, Lord, I don't want that to happen anymore. That's the decision that I've got to make to God. The decision of heart trust. I must make sure that there are no backdoor exits. One of the popular songs when I was growing up as a young man was Burning Bridges. It was a love song. But let me tell you, God has a song to us this morning that He wants to sing. God wants to sing to the believer. We must burn the bridges behind us. As long as we leave ourselves options, we are going to look back. Right now, this morning, I believe that we need to say to God, right here, right where we are, we need to say, God, You've said so much to us. Lord, I want to go on from here to do the things that You've said by Your grace You'll help me to do. I want to do those things. I want to please You. God, I want You to close all the doors. I wonder how many of us are prepared to say this morning, God, I want all the exits shut. Barred from the outside. I don't want any latches on the inside because I'll get there. And I know I'm stronger than You, God. And I'll open those doors. And God said, if You want to open them, I'll let You. But I'm saying, God, I want You to bar them from the outside. No back door exits. I'm burning all the bridges behind me. I can't go back. Are you prepared to do that today? Do we really want the blessing of God in our life? Then there has to be the devotion of my heart. Verse 6 says, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Oh my, when I think of that, all my ways. All my ways. You know, that I wouldn't have any bad ways if I was acknowledging them to God. If I was acknowledging God, and if I was walking in the paths of righteousness every moment of every day, if my thought life was controlled by Him, if my hands were controlled by Him, if my mouth was controlled by Him, if my will was controlled by Him, if my feet were controlled by Him. Oh, I believe we need to seek to know His presence every day in everything we seek to do. You heard that last, just a few moments ago by our brother Jay. But that's what he's saying to us this morning. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Seek to know his presence in everything we do. Lord, I want you to be with me. And Lord, anything that you can't enter into that I'm going to do, I'm not going to do it. I wonder if we could say that this morning. Can all of us say that? Lord, everything that I do from now on, this is going to be my commitment from this conference. Lord, you've worked in me. You've spoken to me. And from here on, Lord, what's going to happen is this. By your help, Lord, you're going to be in everything that I do. And if you're not in it, I'm not going to do it. It means we'll get into the Word and we'll study. And we'll say, Lord, there's a project coming up. Now, here is the possibilities that I have. And Lord, if you can't be in that, I'm not going to be. Lord, there's a relationship developing. Maybe you're a young girl. Now, Lord, I want to see what your word says, because this could turn into something serious. What does your word say? Maybe you're a young man. And you've had eyes for a young girl, and she's got eyes for you, and little notes have been passed, and little telephone calls have been made, and messages have been sent from other of your peers. And you're going to the word of God and say, God, if you're not in this, I'm not going through with it. I'm not going through with it. We must practice the presence of Christ in our lives if our lives are going to be fruitful. Seeking to know His presence and seeking to know His pleasure, bringing pleasure to Him. Do you know that we can bring pleasure to God in all our ways, acknowledging Him in the sense that we want to bring pleasure to Him, that we want to please Him? Oh, if I could just bring myself to that point where self is completely out of the picture, even as I pray, nothing of self will be in that. Not praying for me or my own, but praying for others. In my service, everything that I do as unto the Lord, seeking His pleasure, His glory, not for my pleasure, not for my glory. So many times I had to sit down and say, why did I do that? Did I do that just for something for me? Or am I doing that to please God? I have to be reminded of that time and time again. In all my ways, acknowledging Him, seeing that He gets pleasure from my life. You know, the life that pleases God is the life of His Son. And as I have received Jesus Christ, He wants me so to live in that life. You know, that life always, the Bible says, pleased His Father. Jesus said this, my meat, that which totally consumes me, that which I'm fully occupied with, that which is the dearest object of my life, is to please my Father who is in heaven. That's what Jesus said. We must follow Him. And I must ask myself in all my ways right now, am I pleasing Him? Am I acknowledging Him in all my ways? Am I knowing the presence of Christ day by day? Am I seeking the pleasure of Christ day by day? Then the Word of God says, He shall direct thy path. You know, there are TV evangelists. There are radio evangelists out there. They're saying, you send me $50 and I'll send you this book. And this book has all the answers to life. They're saying, you send for this prayer cloth. You send for this little pin. You donate to this ministry. You do this, you do that. There are a lot of good men out there, okay? I'm not putting down TV evangelists and radio evangelists. But let me tell you this, beloved. If we want the direction of God in our lives, it's found in these verses and the principles of God that are laid down in these verses. It's the direction of a trusting heart. God will direct my path when I know the decision of a trusting heart, when I am devoted to Him and seeking His direction and seeking to bring pleasure to His heart. God will give me guidance to see the pathway. He will direct my path. You're a young person here. You want to know what God's will is for your life. God will direct your path. Somewhere in the Word of God it says, over in the book of Isaiah, I believe it is, the Lord shall make a highway. You want to know God's will? Then you get into God's Word. You seek to obey Him with all your heart. It says, you know what He'll do to those who obey Him and those who trust Him? No, He won't cut a little narrow path so you won't know what's the right way. No, He won't put five paths before you and say, whichever one you go in, one will be the right one, all the others will be the wrong one. No, God will cut a highway. Won't be I-95. The 836. God will make a highway. You'll know it. Now, I don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 months. And on the 17th, I have plans to be in Green Turtle Key for a baptism with Brother Tom and the other Christians over there. I have plans. I've made plans, but if that's not God's plans, He'll change them. And I'm not going to be disappointed or frustrated. I'd like to be there right now. I'm thinking, but maybe God has something bigger in store for me or something smaller. He might take me from Samaria where there's revival, and He might take me to a desert. But God, if I'm in Your will,